is how it treats its women and girls. Women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
Hello and buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I am your in-studio DJ, and then joining me by Zoom is our frequent co-host, Maria Cole. How are you, Maria? She's on a phone call. All right. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As soon as I got in the door, I'm not a morning person. Let me issue
that. Neither am I, truth be told.
Yeah. So I'm not a morning person, and so I go to get my headphones, which I left from last time, and then I'm coming back, and then Randy and Sean are like all a frizzle, and I'm like, well, what's going on? And the Supreme Court, Colorado, and I'm like, meh. Pass.
I can't hear you.
Hold on just a second. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, awesome. All right, so technical difficulties in the studio this morning with all the it's kind of hard to work all these screens at once. But anyway, so I took a pass on the Colorado issue. I mean, it's going to be what it's the hopefulness that you see in people's eyes. It's like,
whose hopefulness?
Oh, it's like, you know, all these Supreme Court decisions, you know, that are, you know, oh, well, you know,
quite honestly, I think the only person hoping that the Supreme Court tosses him out of an election is Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, that's
And maybe any Republican that actually wants to win, because, you know, he's radioactive. And I mean, he's always going to have his carnies and his cult following. But the only reason why anyone's voting for Joe Biden is because they consider the alternative, right?
Right. And it's so, an alternative. That is a conversation that I'm seeing more and more, is people are just tired of the same old. And so it's like, even in the Nevada, Nevada primary, Nikki Haley, who was the only one in it, lost to the alternate selection of, you know, anybody here, you know. So it's like, yeah. So how do you lose? And it was a landslide, pretty much.
Right.
And so, how are you thinking that, you know, you're headed down the right path if this is where you end up in the Supreme Court every other day? So, we have a caller, Maria, and this one's a little bit earlier than usual. So let's see what they have to say. And hopefully you can hear him.
Okay.
This is David in Northport. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I just was curious, this is a little off topic, I think, but former presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is now kind of going around Florida and, you know, like, it almost seems like a campaign kind of thing where he helped, like, a special printed up, you know, slogan up on the podium about, you know, helping Florida manatees, this sort of thing. So what do you think is behind that? Do you think he's going to run for Senate or president in 4 years?
Maria, did you hear the whole question?
I did.
Awesome.
I did.
Awesome.
It's funny because I was thinking the same thing. And I don't know, when's the filing deadline for a Senate race? Because I know that he and Rick Scott can't stand each other, right?
Ooh. Hot tea.
I mean, it would not be the first time that he primaried how would I describe it?
Primary.
The party favorite, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, he was actually not supposed to win the gubernatorial primary when he did. He was not exactly the favorite, right? So, I don't know. I just don't know that he's cut out for, I think he's, like, really mad that he's got to, you know, get his stiletto stuck in the mud doing these ribbon cuttings all over the state, quite frankly.
I think DeSantis makes Rick Scott look like a good governor, you know.
Exactly.
Off the impossible.
Yeah. Hold my beer, as they say. Thanks so much for calling, Dave.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. So let's talk some more about that whole process. It's like, well, number one, I have no problem with height enhancement, particularly if you're a little short dude. But at least, you know, don't be so surreptitious about it. Just, you know, come out and own it. So I don't know. But yeah, I had the vision of him getting stuck in the mud, as Maria suggested, and it was pretty hilarious. So I thank you for that, Maria. I got the scene of, did you ever see Bridget Jones's Baby?
Yes.
Remember when she gets to the like Woodstock and she slips in the mud? Yeah, that's immediately what popped into my mind. So, so as far as who he could primary other than Scott. Marco Rubio, maybe. What do you think, Maria?
Scott Rubio? I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to see
DeSantis
who.
DeSantis Rubio?
Yeah, DeSantis. I don't see it, but like to put DeSantis up against anybody else who's of his ilk, and there seem to be more every day.
I mean, honestly, so Rubio's election is up the same time the next presidential election is, right? So that's something to think about. Would he rather run for president again, or would he rather run for the Senate? And then, quite frankly, I don't know that he could beat Marco Rubio.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. I don't think he can, because Marco Rubio is a very seasoned politician, right? Marco Rubio can actually, other than that bottle of water incident with the response to the State of the Union several years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he's a pretty good debater and speaker, right? Like, the only people that get him flummoxed are people like Donald Trump, because, you know, to a certain extent, I think Marco Rubio goes into a fight with the Marquess of Queensberry rules, and somebody like Donald Trump with no holes barred is like, throws him off, because he's not expecting the insults, if you will.
Right. Street fighting and fancy fighting is a whole different story.
Right.
All right. So we have two callers. We have Joel in Venice. Hi, Joel.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Maria's fine.
I certainly am.
I'm wondering if DeSantis, I believe he suspended his campaign for president. I think he's waiting for Trump to melt down or get convicted or get disqualified, and he's going to come back in the race, and he's kept in good standings with Trump somewhat so that he can get Trump support. I don't think he's done presidentially yet. I think that's what he's doing.
I think he's totally done because he just doesn't have the charisma it takes to get there. I mean, he comes across as a poor Paul Lynde substitute. And I just don't see him as a presidential candidate. Maria, what do you think?
Who?
DeSantis.
As a presidential candidate?
Yeah,
he's
saying that when Trump melts down, then DeSantis will go and take his place. Although I don't know that DeSantis could beat Haley.
Let's be realistic here, right? Like, the chair of the party is getting ready to step down, right?
Right.
He is going to be in the middle of prosecution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about, like, what kind of infrastructure is going to be around to nominate somebody from the floor at a Republican convention, right?
Right.
And the only one still left on the dance floor is Nikki Haley.
Right.
Right? And in terms of polling, she may not appeal to 63% of voters in Nevada or whatever, but the reality of it is that A, she's still there, mm-hmm. and B, she actually trounces Joe Biden in a general election, right?
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily a fan. Actually, I'm not a fan, but you're talking about if all things fail, right? You're way too deep into the calendar for somebody to build the infrastructure necessary to actually do anything other than Nikki Haley. And I think that that's one of the reasons why people are saying, don't go. Here, take money. Do whatever.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Even if Trump would throw his support behind DeSantis, if he got convicted or disqualified, if Trump said, "I want you to vote for DeSantis, all his people," what do you think?
I don't know that they would do that, though. I don't know that. So Trump's followers are cultish, right?
Yeah.
And understanding the psychology of Donald Trump as a narcissist, I don't know that he would endorse anybody, right?
That's true.
I mean, he might tell his son to run.
He'll endorse anybody that'll pardon him.
That's exactly it.
Exactly.
But if they convict him in Georgia, he can't be pardoned. Just, you know, FYI.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's great. Well, anyway, I hope he doesn't get in, and you're doing a great job. I love listening to your show.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's talk to Sarah in Tampa. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess the one thing that I've grown really, really weary of, I appreciate this conversation and I participate in it, but when are we going to start running candidates that we want to vote for?
Thank you.
Amen, amen,
yes,
amen.
Thank you, yes.
I mean, I voted for Joe Biden last time. But I wanted to go to him and say, hey, buddy, you need to realize I did not vote for you. I voted against Donald Trump. And he seems to have forgotten all of the young people that pushed him over the top, expecting to have their college debt forgiven, the DACA people that are still waiting, all of the federal lands that he said he would never open for oil exploration, and yet he has. And for me, for this voter, I don't know what I'm going to do when I vote because I can't stand what Biden has not done to stop this carnage, ethnic cleansing, and genocide in Gaza. And, you know, I mean, I'll just finish with this. I remember several months ago, that guy that had been in the State Department under Obama, Stuart something or other in New York, harassing the Middle Eastern vendor. And it was caught on video, and he was just disparaging and telling the guy he had connections and that he'd turn his parents in and have their... I mean, it was awful. And the realization for me that was equally as awful was this was a man who was in the State Department involved in negotiating between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Now, what's that about? We have people that are there in the negotiations that are clearly anti-Muslim and representing the interests of AIPAC and the Jewish
lobby. All right. We're way far afield of where we started out, Sarah. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. So that took a turn real fast. But, yeah. I've been saying this. Well, we've all been saying it in this show. Have been saying it since he said I'm gonna come again for another term. All right. Number one, you promised you wouldn't do that. Number two, you hadn't done anything from my perspective. Comments, Dr. Cole.
I have to be honest, right? Because, like, I stutter when I lie. He is not, my favorite president. I don't know that I have one. But I think that his biggest problem is his hubris.
Yes.
And I say that because there, in certain circles, he is, like, very affable and lovely. Like, you watch him in rooms with union workers and things like that. But he's very old school in his politics. And I feel like the younger generation, like millennials and Gen Z, are a voting age. And millennials alone trump the numbers of voters of the baby boomers that he appeals to, right? So I feel like consideration has to be given. It's like you cannot have this get off my lawn kind of attitude with the largest population of voters, mm-hmm. right? So you cannot be dismissive of how young people feel. And to the caller's point, the younger in the demographic you go, the more concerned they become about Middle East policy, right? This isn't your mother's conversation, you right. know what I mean? Your grandmother's conversation, where people witness oppression and they tie global oppression throughout the world together, mm-hmm. right? Young people are a lot more morally consistent,
right,
in their perspective. That said, I do believe that there are some things that he's actually done that he himself doesn't give himself credit for, right? I think about where we were in the pandemic with 14% unemployment. And now we are at a historic low of under 5%. It's like 4.3 or something like that, 3.4. I can't remember. But under 5%. And we've consistently been under 5%. A lot of people have had, although I want everybody's student, including my own, I want everybody's student debt eliminated, right? I think that that's like a usury practice, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of like how it's set up.
Yeah.
But he has forgiven a lot of student loan debt. And quite frankly, that's a whole lot more than what Barack Obama did. I do think that there are some things that he should be lauded for. Not a whole lot, but he's just not a good communicator about it. And like I said, like in certain circles, he's one of those guys where I hear you and I see you, but where it matters the most, he doesn't hear us and he doesn't see us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Something that I don't think he'll ever get credit for that I think is interesting is his ability to actually, I wish I could swear on the radio, but this, his ability to just really get into Republicans' minds in the Senate and really mess them up and let them like dig themselves into a hole like they did with this immigration bill, you know?
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
Okay.
But, so, you know, I got to be fair.
Yeah. Well, you're more fair than I am. I still blame him for Clarence Thomas. So
I blame him for Clarence Thomas. Absolutely. You know, I kind of wish, I love Ketanji Jackson, but kind of wish that he would have put Anita Hill.
Oh, that would have been next. So awesome. Yeah.
I think it's hilarious, but you know, that's me just being a jerk, but, I think Ketanji Brown Jackson is brilliant. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I do blame him for Clarence Thomas, but I don't know.
Okay.
There's so many more people I would choose, but, you know, the reality of it is that our electorate is very interesting. You know, and I always say this, black people vote defensively. And that's why he won South Carolina. And if you look at that primary result and how black people voted and why they voted for him, they looked at the entire list of men.
Right.
Of men and said, who is the least likely to get us killed?
That is
how black people vote in South Carolina. That's how black people vote in general. And then it was all the women behind all of the men.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which I thought was really interesting. I thought it was more interesting than the actual results. I thought it was really interesting that nobody in South Carolina voted for the women.
Yeah.
Like based on their qualifications, they voted on women thinking that America is never going to elect a woman.
Right. Wow. Okay. So the queue is stacking up with calls now. So let's talk to Dave in Seminole. Oh, Sarasota. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Good morning. I was wondering if you knew, is there anybody running against Marco Rubio or Rick Scott in their future races?
Yeah, we talked about that a few minutes ago.
Rick Scott's up now. Rick Scott's up in November, and the two Democrats running in that race. One is Debbie Mercosol Powell and Stanley Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my other question for you was, what did you think of Snoop Dogg endorsing President Trump or ex President Trump?
Snoop Dogg endorsing ex-President Trump.
As we say in the South, bless his heart. he's growing his own pot, isn't he?
I think he got a little too high there.
He probably has a gardener just to grow his weeds.
you gotta wonder like what time of day was it and was he puffing and stuff like that.
All right.
Thanks so much for calling, Dave.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. Let's see. Eitan in Seminole Heights. Hello, Eitan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. And thank you for having me on. And you're my neighbor right down the road off MLK. Beautiful thing. Good job out of you all. So, Republican DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, he dropped out of the primary. Let's just use the own up and say he quit. because he quit. Nikki has not quit yet. So my thought process for months has been, for weeks has been, that if she does not quit, but if Trump wins the Republican primary, and if Trump wins or loses the general election, then Nikki is much more open to running down the road again for Republican primary, because she did not quit. And a lot of smart money would not want to invest someone that dropped out, quit, like DeSantis. The next thing is Marco Rubio. Back in the 2016 primary, when Marco Rubio was one of the like 11, 12, 15 people running for the Republican primary, he was a United States senator. He came out public record, says, if I lose the Republican primary, I will not run for another election as a United States senator. Well, of course, he lied, and he did run another election. And he won against the weak candidates that were going against him. Me, in the 2016 primary election, I registered here in Florida as Republican because I didn't support Marco Rubio, so I voted against him. Thank goodness he lost, because my one vote didn't matter. And the other part is, the last election in Florida for the general election for governor, unfortunately, we had two opportunists that neither were good. Former Charlie Crist, now Congressmember Crist, I think he's still Congressmember, and the current governor, DeSantis, that won. So they're both terrible. Very few people owned up to run. Selection was only those two. So I left that bullet on the ballot empty because I own up and don't vote for neither loser.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Eitan.
I want to ask you one thing here. So many people may not know DeSantis served as a congressmember before he became governor. Why would people think he would go back to the Congress to serve? Because he quit as a congressmember because he wasn't that good of liked.
Right.
So again, the smart money is not backing him. But, you know, there might be people that support him and don't know history. Smart money does not, again, individual money is different. I want to end it like that. Yeah.
All right.
He needs to retire and move out of state.
Thank you so much for calling, Eitan. All right. So we got Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran.
Hi. The other day, I think it was Tuesday, I listened to a speech by Chris Hedges. I always listen to him when I hear he's going to, you know, be on. And he just lays it right down about things. But I am just so conflicted now about, I was probably going to vote for Joe Biden, but the way Chris Hedges just explained all of the involvement in Gaza that this country has, and what way out of it is there? We're so involved in it with the military industrial complex, and the sides that have been taken by most of the Democrats for the Israelis, and Chris Hedges said, don't vote for Joe Biden. I mean, he doesn't want to see Trump in, but he almost made it sound like Trump would be, or Joe Biden would be the worse one than Trump. I am just very conflicted right now. I thought about Marianne Williamson if she was on the ballot, but I guess you heard she just dropped out of the race.
I just saw that come across the screen. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I mean, I trust someone like Chris Hedges. I trust them. They don't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't sugarcoat it. So I'm just so conflicted about it. I know Joe Biden has done a lot of good things, but it's just one thing with Gaza and the ceasefire and everything. It's just like he's Lyndon Johnson with Vietnam. And that just blows the whole thing for him. I just don't know. The only good thing is that there is still some time until November. I'm just hoping and praying that something changes with him and he can get the support that he really needs. That's all I wanted to say. So thank you for letting me talk.
Thanks so much for calling, Fran. All right, Jack in Dover. Hello, Jack.
Hi, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
My thought this morning came as kind of a political satire cartoon, so So I'm making an appeal to someone that could possibly draw a picture of a lifeguard stand on the Rio Grande next to the barbed wire, handing out life vests to the children trying to come across to America. And I just wish that, you know, the Supreme Court could step up and actually provide something like that. I mean, children shouldn't be involved in, you know, the nonsense of the world. They're just innocent victims.
Right. All right.
That's it for today, ladies. And thanks again for your show. You know I love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj at wmnf.org. Now, this is going to...
Sorry. I was thinking about both callers, and I was thinking about Fran and what she was saying about her vote. And I saw a really interesting interview with Rashid Khalidi, who is a professor at Columbia University. He is the Edward Said Professor of Middle Eastern Studies, and he is Palestinian. And he was asked about the two quote unquote front runners in this presidential race. And it was really, really interesting because he is convinced that Joe Biden is never going to change his mind on Middle East policy. And to Fran's emphasis in her conversation, that is central to her decision making. But it was really interesting because he said, like, his opinion of the Middle East has not changed since the 70s. And that it's so ingrained in him that he is not open to thinking about it in any other terms. And I thought that was interesting. It was a really interesting interview. Rashid Khalidi is an incredible, incredibly brilliant man. And I highly recommend just listening to any of his interviews or grabbing one of his books. But with respect to immigration, I got to be honest with you. Like, being gaslit or something, because I just don't see there's an actual quote unquote crisis at the border. Is it just me?
No, it's not just you.
is it a real thing? Like, we have, I said earlier, historic unemployment rate and people are looking for work. And people are coming here because of the crappy things we did in their countries.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having a hard time seeing this quote unquote crisis at the border. And mind you, it's only the one border. It's not the other border.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'm having a really hard time seeing where the crisis is. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't see the hair on fire thing that people keep proclaiming it to be, but maybe that's just me.
I'm not. If the story is out there, it's not being told in a fashion to hook either you or me. But all right, let's talk to Chris in Clearwater. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, it seems like there is a lot of alienation from all of the major candidates or perceived major candidates. So I think I'd like to hear your commentary on RFK Jr. and his polling being so impressive in getting a recent NBC poll. 34% of voters said that they would vote for him. And although I am upset that he does not support a ceasefire with Gaza and Israel, and I just think that folks would learn more about his issues. That's what's most important that any candidate brings to the table, is their issues, rather than bad-mouthing the other candidate. You can check out his issues, of course, on his Facebook page. But I would think that he would not commit to another fascist crime like Trump did under Operation Warp Speed, where he just gives the pharmaceutical companies, multinational corporations without allegiance to any country, all this money, and they get all the profit for the COVID shot, and they don't.
Circle the plane, Chris. Let's come in for a landing because you're getting too far afield.
Well, they don't offer any profit sharing, and you also can learn about.
Chris. Your question to us was to comment on the viability.
The issues that they talk about. RFK Jr. stepped down as the CEO of Children's Health Defense. ChildrensHealthDefense.org if you want to learn more about his.
All right. Chances. So are you going to listen to me or are you just going to read off your paper there?
I'll finish with this. I just think that the media does not give airtime to his responses, his actual explanations of how they've badmouthed him. And I'm very concerned with H.R. 3832, Disease Act of 2023, where they're preparing for.
All right, I think we hit the sweet spot when we talked about the support for RFK Jr. So, thanks for calling, Chris and Maria. What are your thoughts on JFK or RFK Jr. rather?
He's quite honestly not a candidate that appeals to me. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but he's just not a candidate that would appeal to me as an alternative, right? Like, if we're talking Gavin Newsom, okay. If we're talking Dean Phillips, that might appeal to me. I am much more of a progressive, if you will, but when I say progressive, I want a candidate that is going to represent justice and consistency. And I am vehemently opposed to our aggression in the Middle East, primarily for the sake of capitalism. So, like,
all about the money.
That, quite frankly, is a non-starter for me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk to Kaya in Clearwater. Hi, Kaya.
Oh, hi, Liz.
Yes.
Hey, yes. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I'm great. I listened to y'all's podcast. I went to all of them to listen to them. I binged on them. They're great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You need to keep glasses. You need to keep your reading glasses at the station because you never have your glasses.
Okay.
I'm actually calling driving right now. And I wanted to make a comment because it was a little alarming what some people are saying. Everybody needs to remember the 4 years that we had with Trump. Okay. I know Americans tend to have short memories. I have a very long memory as an African-American woman. I don't forget. And it's going to be worse if we vote for Trump, if anybody does. Mm-hmm. That sense, okay? We shouldn't even be considering voting for Trump. He's the worst person that could sit in that office. And that's not my opinion. That's the fact, whether people want to accept it or not. Terrible. Right. The dangerous thing for Fran, and I hope I'm not misinterpreting what she said, but she shouldn't even be considering Trump. Now, as far as another candidate, yes, I would love to see Gavin Newsom. I'm a progressive. I wanted Bernie. But I held my nose and voted for Biden. And if it's Trump and Biden, I'll hold my nose and vote for Biden again. Because I don't want Trump. I don't want a fascist in the White House. And I hope that everybody will remember the 4 years. And if they can't, they can go on YouTube and watch the January 6th insurrection when they raided and were trying to kill people.
Yeah.
If they can't remember that. But I love you. I love your show. I agree with everything you said. I know it's difficult for us as progressives because we don't get what we want. And just like slavery, it's going to take hundreds and hundreds of years. Hopefully I'll live long enough to see it. But I love your show and love what you guys are doing, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, Marissa, we vote for the person who's going to be the least likely to get us killed.
Right.
Right?
So, exactly. And that's, you know,
The one thing that I will say, because, like, people don't understand this, like, I have very strong opinions about a lot of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I vote, I also have to take it, I have to be realistic about my choices, right?
Right.
But, and the consequences of those choices, but that the choices are not what is in my, see, Republicans vote for what is in the best interest of me, like my taxes, my whatever, mm-hmm. right? For the most part, I am one of those people that doesn't vote that way. I'm a person that votes what is in the best interest of my community? What is the least likely? Where is my vote going to land in the least likely position to get us killed? Right?
Right.
Like, unfortunately, I don't have the choice of my wildest dream, if you will.
Yes. It's a lot to process. I mean, it's to even look at it from your perspective, because I've always, you know, had the privilege of voting that, I mean, if I didn't like somebody or something they did or whatever, I mean, I had the luxury of the privilege of voting without having to come from it from the perspective that least likely to get me killed. But it absolutely, yeah, makes sense. All right. Let's see. We have some text messages. This one is from Wendy. Marco would beat DeSantis hands down, and I hate them both. Wonder who will take Marco on. He really has always had his eyes on the prize. Wendy. Yeah.
Is that for president or is that for Senate?
I'm thinking for Senate. Because I don't see Senate. In other words, I think we talked about this earlier too. Marco would beat DeSantis hands down. She's saying exactly what you were saying earlier. Okay, let's see. I'm going to have to move the screen over to see that. How is it Trump is seen as a lesser evil to Biden as regards Israel? Is the implication that Trump would have withheld all his support and weapons for Israel?
So I'm assuming this is related to Rashid Khalidi's comments. Rashid Khalidi's comments were this, and that is that Biden's Middle East policy is ingrained in him. There's no wavering. Donald Trump, however, is transactional.
Oh yeah, whoever pays him the most.
He will do business with murderous Saudis. He will do business with, I don't know, anybody else. Attila the Hun.
Yeah.
As long as there is he derives personal compensation from it.
Right.
Right? Like he's willing to sell policy to the highest bidder. I'm not saying that that's a good thing. Rashid Khalidi is not saying that that's a good thing. But he's basically saying that Joe Biden is never going to change his mind on Middle East policy. And if you live with that, he's your choice. But make that choice.
Yeah.
Given everything else, make that choice knowing that he's not going to change. The only way to get Middle East policy to change is to get more people aligned in Congress that align with our beliefs, mm-hmm. right? Like you see right now, like Nina Turner ran for Congress and AIPAC poured tons of money into that race, right? people are attacking the squad, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashida Tlaib in particular, Ilhan Omar in particular, Jamal Bowman in particular. So if you want to see a different Middle East policy, we've got to support those people. Those are people we got to support.
Right.
Right? And find more people to build capacity in that space to push back against what other like egregious policy is out there.
Yes.
But know that you're not going to change his mind. We have to force the change strategically.
Yes. Because
I hope that clarified Khalidi's comments.
Okay, let's see. I've got an email from DeMarco with a lot of words on it. And I'll have to read that afterwards, sorry. Lizzie, Karen Underwood says, I 100% agree. I have PTSD from Trump. And then, let's see. This is from Bubba. Great show, ladies. One thing I like about Biden is he's kept his staff. Blinken, Buttigieg, etc. are all still there. Don't forget about the chaos of the Trump administration. Also, Chris is bad for radio. Please off him off sooner. Oh, cut him off sooner. All right. Thanks, Bubba. And then Biden. Let's see. Hi, I'm a Palestinian American. I voted for Biden because he was the less evil, in my opinion. His career is over. He will go out home and count the days to his grave. I will not vote for Democrats or Republicans. Both parties are bought out. And that's not the first time I've heard that. Thank you for your email. I mean, everybody is just so burnt out from the whole thing. It's like, wait, you know, this was the way you packaged it back when Biden ran the first time. One, it'll only be for one term, and two, just to get us past the Trump bump. And then now all of a sudden we're supposed to all just fall in line, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It surprised me how quickly Bernie just folded up and fell in line. So I got to wonder what's going on there.
I mean, the reality of it is, I think Bernie Sanders is not the person people want him to be, right? Like,
right.
Barack Obama was not the person we wanted him to be. Like, we assigned certain character traits to Barack Obama that were just not the reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders, too, right? Bernie Sanders is a very, very strategic political animal, mm-hmm. right? And Bernie Sanders, like, if you think about Bernie, I think Bernie Sanders went home one day and realized that all of the stuff that he wanted to do, he's actually working on and he's actually moving the needle. When Bernie Sanders first ran, everybody said that $15 an hour for workers, minimum wage workers, was ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But where are we now? Right. Like, right. I think that he has really transformed the conversation in very, very meaningful ways. Right. And I think that, like, in his view, there's a lot that he has accomplished and he doesn't want to run for president anymore. He does see what's at stake. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would run. I think that if Joe Biden had said he's not going to run again, mm-hmm. I think we'd be having a different conversation.
Ah, gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But because he's running again, everybody's like, well, we're going to ride this horse. Right?
Right.
As I normally say, we're going to ride this camel till he dies of thirst. Okay? That's kind of where we are.
Wow. Let's see. We have Charles in Tampa. Hi, Charles.
Hi there. I'm following up on the Trump versus Biden and Israel. My text was not prompted by Khalidi's comments. It was prompted, if anything, by Franz and Chris Hedges. I'm kind of focusing on, had Trump been in office since October, would there be any fewer dead Gazans? I don't think so. I think he would have been just as happy to give
Netanyahu. I think there would have been more.
Yeah. There'd be more because then he would be pitching tents and calling them Trump properties and billing them out to all the different places.
Exactly. Right. And I think
manufactured disaster capitalism. Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, people that are saying, oh, well, you know, you can't vote for Biden, that will de facto put Trump back in office. And this is coming from someone who has taken every opportunity to vote against both major parties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still explaining away the blatant myth that Jill Stein put Donald Trump in the White House. Those numbers do not work out.
Right.
So, you know, saying, oh, well, Biden is dropping the ball in Israel, which I completely agree. I'm horrified every day that my tax dollars are being dropped on Gaza to kill people.
Yeah.
And nothing else is being considered. But again, I mean, why do we want to go out of the frying pan into the fire? At this point, it's easy. We're voting either for democracy or, well, the facade of democracy or against it. There really is no in between at this point.
Right.
All right. Thanks 100%. So much for calling, Charles.
So, is there a response? How is it that Trump is being seen as a lesser evil to Biden given Israel?
Because Trump would have done the same or worse. That was one reason why. Sorry, Maria, I think you were fixing a talk when I jumped in.
No, I personally think that Donald Trump got us in the position where we are right now by a number of things that he did with respect to the Middle East.
Totally.
The treaty with Iran. He voided making deals with the Saudis after they had murdered the journalist, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. All of these things and more got us to where we are right now, right?
And as a country, we're so what, stupid and selfish that we're going to point at Biden and run to Trump?
Yeah, I see that happening.
I pray to God that we don't.
I've gotten to the point where nothing is a surprise anymore. It's like, okay, sure, of course it did. But thank you so much for calling, Charles.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. One last call with Christina. We're going to have to make it quick. Christina in St. Petersburg.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. I pretty much second what your caller, Charles, just said. You know, it's unfortunate that we're in this position of voting for the lesser evil yet again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It sucks. But I was living in New York City during 9/11, and I remember very well the fear that a lot of my Arab American friends felt, even in New York City, the crime against Arab Americans throughout the nation. And then I remember Trump's presidency, his anti-Muslim ban. So if anybody out there, whether they're Arab American or whomever, thinks for a millisecond that things are going to be better with Palestine and Israel or anything of that nature under Trump, it's going to be much worse.
All right.
And much worse. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks so much for calling, Christina. Thank you, Dr. Maria Cole, for sitting in the co-host seat yet again. Now we're making you official surly voice, and we'll expect you to show up from time to time. So
I'm happy to do it. You know what I mean? But I mean, if I have one thing to say in parting words, it's like go invest in our transformative squad of congressional candidates. Go invest in them. Knock on doors, make phone calls for them, you know, whatever support you can give them, because they're going to be the ones that transform our Middle East policy.
All right. So listen to the show next week, Thursday.